Life Audio.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. We are excited. What episode? 120, Carlos? 124? Episode 120? 120 something. We don't know when this one will come out. But, man, I'm excited.
It looks a little different today, too. You notice we're not in the normal studio because we are doing a live event here at Grace Chapel Church in Franklin, Tennessee. And tell our viewers who we have with us today.
We have the honor of being in front of Rocket City Church Youth Group.
Come on.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
And these guys are on a youth conference. They came up from Alabama. Last night they went to Winter Jam?
Winter Jam.
Did y'all enjoy Winter Jam?
Yeah!
Okay. Who was your favorite?
McCray.
Who? Crowder. Yeah. Anybody else? That's it.
All right.
Everybody else can go home. So we're going to talk. So here, before we kind of have a theme that we're wanting to talk about, but before we, this podcast is called Life After Addiction. And so we might talk about some things that are uncomfortable. Don't feel like you have to respond, but I do want to dive in because I'm old. I have gray in my beard. Someone clapped when I said I'm old. That hurt my feelings, actually. That kind of hurt my feelings because he says that all the time, that I'm old. But, man, I really want to – I feel called. We feel called. We talked about this a few weeks ago that God's really calling us to talk to the youth. And so I just want to ask you guys, when it comes to addiction, middle school and high school in here, right? What are some things that you guys are seeing? I have a guess, but what around your peer group is popular when it comes to addiction and things like that? What would you say? What kind of drugs? All of them. Vaping.
Go ahead.
Weed and nicotine.
Okay.
What else? What about pills? Yeah? No? Some?
Yeah.
That's kind of what about alcohol? Yeah? Pretty popular. Yeah, and that's kind of what I thought. I thought it was going to be weed, pills, and alcohol. As we are called to be separate, God calls us to be separate. We're to be separate from the world. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to act different. But something that I've seen over the last, I guess, as I've become a man, as a grown-up, I've seen the world really desensitize and make normal things like sex, things like pornography, things like alcohol, things like even drugs, weed. How many states is weed legal in now? Legal?
Several.
A bunch. And so, man, I just want to share with you guys, biblically, when we take these things, when we look at these images on our phones or on the computer, when we smoke marijuana, when we take the pills, when we're getting drunk on alcohol, what we're doing is we're exchanging the glory of God and His promises for cheap bootleg substitutes. And the world tries to tell us that this is normal, this is fun. And I mean, I don't know if, I think all of you probably have never sinned in your life, right? And you've never done anything wrong in your life. But I would imagine that everyone in this room has someone in their life that they know who struggles with addiction, whether it be an uncle, an older brother, a parent, a friend's parent, something like that. And this stuff is devastating our community. It's called idolatry. When you exchange God's glory and his promises, what do you think I mean by his promises? Like, God has promises in his word, right? What are some of them? Name one. All right, all that stuff I said about your youth pastor, I take back. He's not taught you. No, I'm joking. They're on the spot. There's 7 million people listening right now, so they're a little nervous. I get it. Like, his promises, like what? What does God's word say that you can trust? Go ahead. That we're his, yeah. He'll never leave us or forsake us. That's right. What else? Eternal life, right? That if we surrender our life to Christ, that if we are new creations in Christ and we've confessed with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we will never perish, that we'll spend eternity with him. That's right. Anybody else? What do you think? Give me a promise of God.
The one that comes to mind when you're talking about this is Matthew 5:6, and it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." I'm going to share a quick story. So I know Ryan, like he said, because I went through S2O recovery. We're a Christ-centered addiction recovery program. I actually struggled with addiction for over 10 years. drugs and alcohol, got caught up with the wrong crowd, and my life went to places I never thought it would go in a million years. And what I was doing, and I didn't know this, but it was an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was, and the world is pulling at you from so many directions and marketing you in so many ways that you don't even realize, whether it's the radio, whether it's what you watch on TV, whether it's social media. Our two greatest desires as humans are what? Do you guys know? To love and to be loved. And so when we don't know God and our identity is not rooted and founded in Him, I'm going to move with the ways of the world. And I found myself doing that. Now, I didn't know the Lord growing up. I never sought after God. I never prayed. I never went to church, really, maybe on occasion, but I never had a personal relationship with Him. So my identity, when I look back at my life, was always in two things, in women, like the relationships that I was in, and in sports. And how I exceeded and excelled in those two things ultimately determined my worth. Well, what's wrong with that? Those things are temporary.
Yeah.
So when I no longer have those things, then I'm left with myself.
Like if the lady leaves, or let's say he gets hurt and can't play sports anymore, then what? His identity was rooted in.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Those two things, and now they're ripped from him.
And so that was my purpose, so to speak. And so when I no longer had those things, I no longer had direction. I no longer had purpose. I no longer had a reason to continue to do the things that I desired to do. So I say all that to say I was seeking contentment and purpose and fulfillment from these temporary things. And then when these things I no longer had, I was left with myself and I didn't even know who I was. And so when someone doesn't have purpose, when they don't know who they are, it's very easy to start to follow the ways of the world. When my life got to where it was, you know, I remember being a kid and I would hear other people's stories and like how they ended up being, you know, an alcoholic or a drug addict. And it's like, oh, that's never going to be me. Well, Pastor Ryan and myself can say, and Adam can say, well, we never grew up planning to be those things either, you know? And so it's a very slippery slope. It starts out, it was very simple for me just going to high school and smoking weed. That seems very innocent. Maybe y'all don't see it through that lens, and praise God if you don't, but I saw it, it's just smoking weed. Now, that's wrong biblically, but like I said, I didn't know the Lord. So my standard of truth was just what was in my own head and my own perspective on life. It seems innocent going to a party and just having a few beers. But man, there's a verse in Romans chapter 7. I believe it's 13. Don't quote me, but it's Romans chapter 7. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. And it tells us why. And it says, to make you obey its passions. Mm. And that's what sin does. It takes you further than you're willing to go, keeps you longer than you're willing to stay, and costs you more than you're willing to pay. And so any sin is too much. And so there's a pastor at our recovery program, and he talks about keeping short accounts of sin. Now, we all sin. Romans 3:23 tells us we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. But what he means by keeping short accounts of sin is, man, that we're quick to repentance, that we're quick to ask for forgiveness, that we're quick to turn from those ways. So when you find yourself turning from the ways of the Lord, man, I'm able to catch myself that much quicker, repent, confess, turn from those things, acknowledge my sin, and then accept the forgiveness of Christ that comes with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're watching this online, I hope that you can maybe relate, because my story is a little bit different than Ryan's. I grew up in the church. I was probably born in the pews of the church, youth group, sports. I mean, I was there all the time. I loved it. And looking back now, I knew God, but the Bible says that even the demons believe and they shudder.
Amen.
And so I didn't have this relationship, but I thought that I did. Maybe I had said some kind of prayer or something like that. And so in my mind, man, I had a salvific relationship. I had a salvation-style relationship with God, but I just didn't. And so I grew up. High school, didn't do any drugs or alcohol. I was part of the good kids. I played sports. I was pretty popular. And didn't drink, didn't do drugs. But, man, I go off to college. I went to a college called UT Chattanooga. And the moment, that was about 2.5 hours away from my home in East Tennessee in Knoxville. Actually, I grew up in the same place that Pastor Ryan went to college to swim. He went to UT Knoxville. And so I went to UT Chattanooga about 2.5 hours away. And the moment that I found freedom from my parents, man, I just went crazy. And the aspect of, man, there was parties, there was women. I didn't have my dad to worry about coming home to or my mom to let down. I was on my own. And so the foundation of this relationship, what I look back on is, man, I was just trying to be somebody. I was a chameleon. Have you heard that before? Like I could be whatever the people around me needed me to be, or I thought that they wanted me to be. So in high school and in college, if I was around the jocks, man, I was all sports. If I was around the car people, man, I was talking about hot rods. And if I was around the whatever. Are there still cliques in high school and middle school? That's never going to change, isn't it?
No, never going to change.
That's human nature. And so I just went wild and never looking back. And then I went down to New Orleans after a hurricane hit. And I was doing work down there. And I fell off of a roof and I hurt my back. And I was introduced to pretty powerful prescription pain medication. And the first time that I took that, something clicked inside of my head. Because always I was chasing it. Like when I went to college, I was chasing something. I had to have people's acceptance. That's why I was always a chameleon. I couldn't be myself. And if you can relate to that, man, that's so dangerous, because if I'm wearing a mask always, if I'm changing my colors always, as a chameleon does, if I'm trying to be what you wanted me to be, then, man, I can never feel love. Because even if you loved me in the group, man, deep down subconsciously, I know you just love the projection of who I'm saying that I am. And, man, that left an empty void. And when I took that first pill, man, it was like, man, that's what I've been missing. That's what I've been missing my whole life, the feeling that I took. And since then, from then, it was just the chase for that feeling. I lost everything. Ended up marrying my high school sweetheart, ruined that relationship. She left me. I was kicked out of everywhere I could go. I had legal issues. The law was coming after me. I had no money. I mean, so the chase of this feeling that I thought that I needed cost me everything. And I mean everything. To the point where I had nowhere to sleep. So kind of taking it from there, where did yours progress from when you were in college, smoking, or in high school, and how did that progress to ended up to, you died, didn't you?
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, it started out what I thought was innocent, just, you know, smoking weed in high school, going to parties, drinking, things like that. I loved sports, though. Like I said, my identity was in relationships that I was in with women and sports, and how I excelled in those was essentially my worth. Well, I ended up breaking my hand senior year. I played baseball. So I ended up going to a college called Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas. I'm from Houston. And so my older brother was there, and I kind of knew some of the guys that went up there with him. And I got involved in the wrong crowd quickly. Now, I didn't understand that my identity was in those things. When I'm telling y'all this now, I realized that once I came to Christ when I was 27 years old. So I didn't realize that's where my identity lied at the time, was in those things. But when I no longer had sports, I got to college, and it was like I never thought about what I wanted to graduate with as far as a degree goes, or what occupation I wanted to have when I got older. I just never thought about those things. And so whenever I no longer had sports to lean on, that's what I did. I ate that. I breathed it. I lived it every single day. I quickly turned to something that was just an easy, quick cover-up or an easy fix, like to feel the way I wanted to feel. And that, you know, drinking and smoking on weekends quickly turned into using every day. Long story short, that happened for a decade and got worse and worse and worse. I ended up overdosing on heroin in 2017 in a friend's backyard, and I woke up in a hospital with a doctor telling me that you should be dead. And so I just remember pulling the IVs out of my arms and stuff like that. I was freaked out, and I just left against the doctor's orders.
Yeah.
And the next few days, like that next week, I really started to ponder the meaning of life. Like, mind you, I didn't know God at all at this point in time. And I'm like, God, there has to be something more than just like me destroying everything around me and then dying. Like, there has to be more to life than just that. I come from a good family. I have an amazing mom and dad and brothers and people who love me. I was raised up with good principles, morals, and values. Like, I had no reason to do the things that I did. And so I started to ponder, like, what is the meaning of life? There has to be purpose. Well, within that week of me getting out of the hospital, my parents didn't even know that I had overdosed. My mom sends me a text to S2O Recovery, and so I click on the link. And at the bottom of it, I saw it said Christ-centered recovery. And something inside of me was like, Ryan, you've tried everything but this Jesus thing. Let's give that a shot. I came to the program in June of 2017, and I didn't know anything about the Lord. You know, I knew John 3:16 because I played sports, and I'd pray that on occasion in sports. But
saw the sign.
Yeah, that's about all I knew. And so we went to this little church out in Woodbury, Tennessee. Pastor Ryan knows about it, Pleasant View Baptist Church. And it was Father's Day. And I remember sitting in that congregation and thinking, like, man, these people are probably judging us and thinking, what the heck are these people who struggle with drugs and alcohol doing here? And I was met with, like, an unconditional love that I couldn't even explain. But I sat there, and I remember looking at the pastor, and that next 45 minutes of that sermon, I don't even remember exactly what he preached on, but the Spirit of God moved in my life in the mightiest of ways. And he did a call to salvation at the end of the sermon, and I gave my life to the Lord. And I knew three things from that day forward. I knew that God loved me, I knew that I was forgiven, and I knew that freedom from addiction was possible. And it was such a beautiful moment for me because it catapulted me to a place that I had always desired to be in life. And that was a place where I could love the man in the mirror. I hated myself for so many years. In fact, I got to a point where I no longer really wanted to live. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, but when you're destroying everything you've ever been given and you're hurting your mom and you're hurting your dad and you continue to make mistakes, it's like, what's the point in even living? But I knew those three things from that day forward. And I say all that to say my identity changed.
Mm.
I no longer was a byproduct of the things that I had done. I was no longer defined by my sin and my shortcomings and my mistakes. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 told me that I was a new creation in Christ. And we're saying all of these things to say, man, it is so important at you guys' age to understand who you are in Christ. Like I said, our two greatest desires as humans are to love and to be loved. And sometimes we'll do things that we necessarily that don't line up with our morals, principles, and values because we have a desire to fit in, because we have a desire to be popular and sit with the popular girls at lunch, or for boys to fit in with the athletes and jocks at school. And we do things that are maybe outside of our character necessarily just to feel loved and to be seen and to be heard. But I'm here to tell you that, man, the Lord sees you. The Lord loves you. The Lord knows you by name. And there is no greater fulfillment this world can give you than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've tried it all. I've tried everything you could possibly try in this world. And it leaves you empty and broken at the end of the day. And I'm sure Pastor Ryan tells y'all this all the time. Listen to what he says. He's saying these things from experience.
Yeah.
Like, we've tried everything you can try. Everything this world tells you is going to satisfy and fulfill you, it does not. Only a personal relationship with Christ. And that's why Matthew 5:6 is one of my favorite verses. I pray you get to a place in your walk where you fully understand the gravity of that verse, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. That is a promise of God. Like, we're all looking for satisfaction. That's why we do the things we do. But you cannot receive the same contentment from anything that this world has to offer like you can from Jesus. And it was beautiful just watching y'all worship.
Yeah.
Like, started out a little here, and then, like, as the songs progressed, y'all don't even know, little man in the back, you putting your arms up, I felt the Spirit of God from that.
Cool.
I mean that. I felt the Spirit of God move when your arms lifted up.
You're embarrassing him.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But you touched me, man. Seriously. And like they said, just Doug was saying, when y'all sing, y'all don't understand. Y'all are inspiring these men who are up there. The Spirit of God is moving through y'all in such a mighty way that y'all may not even understand that, but they're getting fired up themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful thing. But I probably got off on a tangent.
No, you're good. I want to finish up the back end of my testimony. I want to charge you guys with something, and then we're going to dive into a subject that's really, really near and dear to our heart, but really in the season that he's in, and so he's going to touch on some things. But back to kind of the back end of my testimony, like I said, I lost everything. The only woman I ever loved left me. No money, no place to lay my head. I went to secular rehab. Do y'all know what the word secular means? Yeah, it just means non-Christian, so the world. If I say secular, that just means of the world. And those places taught us, because he's gone as well, they taught us, and you're in a rehab, they teach you things like, hey, once you're an addict, you're always an addict. Mm-hmm. And if you go to their meetings, you have to go into their meetings, the NA and AA meetings, and you have to say, hey, my name's Adam, and I'm an addict, and then you're allowed to speak. And so your identity is rooted in your addiction, in your alcoholism, no matter what it is. That's what they teach. So earlier when I said we got to be separate from the crazy ideology of the world, that's a part of it. And man, that left me devastated. There's no hope. If I'm always going to be this thing that brought so much chaos into my life, man, there's no hope there. And so things got worse and worse and worse until one day I went through S2L recovery. And when I went there, I heard something different. I heard that I was a new creation. Don't you dare identify yourself with an addict. If you're in Christ, Christ died on the cross for those sins. Your identity is in him. Mm. And think about this, guys. And I want to charge you with something. In the darkest season of my life, 2.5 hours away from everything I've ever known, my wife's gone. The chaos of the sin that I've committed. I'm no longer numbing it with drugs or alcohol, so I had to actually feel the pain and the shame of the guilt of what I had done. In the darkest season of my life, I felt dirty, I felt ashamed, I felt alone. And in that moment, in the deepest part of my soul, God whispered, I love you. I love you, Adam. And that wrecked me. I didn't love myself. God, you love me? Why? How? How could you love me? And I was like, it wasn't feel good. I felt the weight of my sin and it crushed me. And then that's why the cross became so important, because I understood what it meant. I understood the gospel for the first time. And like I told you, I grew up in church. But in that moment, hearing God, not literally whispering, I didn't hear a voice, but in my soul, I felt him tell me that he loved me. And the gospel became real to me, because I felt the weight of my sin, and then I understood the power of the cross, because my sin is now atoned for. And so I went through this program. I started my wife and I's relationship. We started dating when we were actually 2 days ago on Valentine's Day. Was 25 years ago to the day was our first date. Our first date was on Valentine's Day. But God started restoring our relationship. But yet this place, S2L in Middle Tennessee, was asking me to come here and work. And my wife and my family and her family was 3 hours away or 2.5 hours away in East Tennessee. And so they asked me to come on, and I gave them the church answer, we'll pray about it. You ever get on that? Let me pray about it. And I was like, you know, give me 3 days, I'll pray about it. But there's no way, because they're going to give me $50 a week to come and work. That wasn't that long ago. It wasn't like in the 50s. $50 a week. $50 a week 12 years ago was still $50 a week. It wasn't enough to put a tank of gas in your car. And so I called my wife in Knoxville and said, hey, babe, I know God's restoring our marriage, and this is a definite no, because your career, everybody, any chance of a career for me is in East Tennessee. But I told him we'd pray about it. So join me in praying about moving to Middle Tennessee to be a part of this ministry. On the second day, her boss came to her. Said, Katie, they didn't know anything about what was going on with us. She kept it very private. Hey, Katie, her name's Katie. Katie, there's a promotion that we'd like to offer you, but there's a catch. You'd have to move to Middle Tennessee if you want to take it. And she told me that. I was like, really, God? That's what we're doing. So needless to say, gosh, 12 years later, we have 2 beautiful kids, 8 and 6 years old. And God's just been opening doors. I started off as an intern at S2L. I was cleaning toilets, cooking food, driving vans, teaching classes, and God just kept opening doors and opening doors. When I started there, there was 4 staff members, myself included. Today, he's opened the door to where I'm the chief executive officer, and we have 49 staff members on staff, paid with 5 interns. And so God's done a movement. Here's my charge to you, and then I want to get to some of this stuff. You heard me talking about being separate. And like, I believe, I'm not one of those old people that is like, man, that younger generation of whippersnappers, they're all hellions, and they don't listen to their adults. I believe in you guys, man. I really believe that I believe that revival will spark from many areas, and I think you're one of them. hear, listen for that voice that God loves you, and stop buying into the bootleg, cheap substitutes that aren't the promises of God. People's approval. It's cool with this party. It's cool to do this. Just smoke a little bit. Everybody's doing it. I don't give a rip what everybody's doing. Like, you won't hear from the Lord if you're numbing. If you're chasing idols, remember what I said about idols. You're exchanging God's glory and his promises. Some of his promises are, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest for your soul. If you're down, I'll give you rest for your soul. Now, there's two types of people. You just heard from us, so don't think you're safe. Great parents, popular in high school, sports, we turn to addiction. But there's another type that we minister to. And I don't know, maybe some of you in here, or maybe you know someone. There's people who struggle with addiction because evil things have happened to them. And a lot of times it's by the very people who are supposed to love them and protect them. And these things happen to them, they're mistreated, and they turn to drugs or alcohol because they want to numb the shame and guilt. And if that's you today as well, don't exchange for an idol. If that's you, man, if you're hurting and no one knows, you've kept it secret, maybe you've moved on, maybe it was years ago, God knows, and his promise is true. He's saying, come to me. I'll give you rest for that. I'll redeem that. Don't turn to a bootleg substitute. So that's kind of our spill on addiction. We're here to talk. Ryan, he knows. He's been through literal hell and back. I mean, I don't know if he's ever told his full testimony at a youth group, but you could trust him with secrets. It won't make him blush, I promise. There's nothing you could tell us, no matter how crazy, that will make us blush. We've heard it all and seen it all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S, the number 2, L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S, the number 2, L.recovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
Life Audio presents Bridges with Monica Schmelter.
That we have an enduring hope that can't be taken away when we are in Christ. And to know that we have that, right? And eternal salvation, because this world can be so busy and so dark that we can forget that.
Right.
Right? Because sometimes I get caught in the trappings of what's going on in my life this moment. And while I have to recognize that, that's not it.
Continue listening on lifeaudio.com or wherever you find your podcast.